are interested in business. You eat, sleep, and breathe it. You can't get enough of it, and you've been looking for a place where the real pros come to talk about it. Well, you found your new home. This is the Leopard Spots Podcast, presented by Leopard Hill Strategies, a boutique consultancy focused on helping banks, fintechs, and new ventures navigate their risk and operations challenges. You're going to hear from the founders, the owners, investors, and senior executives who've seen and done it all. We'll cover banking, fintechs, new ventures, general industry, and sports. So get ready to eavesdrop on the pros talking about being pros. This is the Leopard Spots Podcast. Now your host, Ryan Simo.
Welcome back to the Leopard Spots Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Simo. Thank you so much for liking, subscribing, sharing, all the good stuff. And really appreciate some of the emails I've been receiving over the last many months from folks who are interested in being connected with some of our guests or learning more about how to get into podcasting or networking in general. So thank you very much for that. This next episode is really interesting. I had the opportunity to sit down with somebody who I got to know maybe about a month or two ago. His name is Matt Lang. He is the founder of his very own company called WAYO, which stands for We Are Your Other Hand. Matt is a leader in the recruitment industry, specifically in the risk and compliance space. And he talks about his career starting on the East Coast over to the West Coast and now down into the Southeast as he looks to grow his business. He shares a whole lot of great information. Everything from what you ought to be doing as a job seeker to how he plans on growing the business to how he got started in the business and his general macro takes on the economy, return to work, the job market, etc. So I really think you'll enjoy this episode with Matt Lang, founder of WAYO.
All right, Matthew, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Ryan. It's great.
Absolutely. We're going on round two for our listeners. Matt and I recorded a podcast a couple of weeks ago. We had some audio issues, so we're back at it again. And, but really look forward to catching up with you because it's been a couple weeks and it seems like the market's changing so dramatically all the time. So, why don't we do this, Matthew? Let's talk a little bit about your background. And, you know, for the listeners, we'll link to it in the show notes. Matthew is the founder of WAYO, which is a really great and cool kind of up and coming staffing, recruiting services type business where he's matching talent with companies that are in need of talent. And we'll go through all that. But before we do that, Matthew, why don't you take us through your career and any as far back as you'd like to go, and then we'll work our way up toward what you're doing now, your company, things that you've learned, and the like. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And I always wonder how far to go back, I guess. My earlier career before the world of recruitment and staffing, I was actually a teacher. So I spent the first half of my 20s when I didn't really know what to do with my life. I taught English overseas. So I lived in Asia for a while, spent some time in Spain. So about 4 years, I was teaching English to kids and adults. That actually led me into the recruitment space. So I then spent 4 years working for a business in the UK in Manchester, which is near where I grew up. And I was recruiting into the education world. So further education colleges, mostly. And from there, I was offered the opportunity to move out to the States. So I moved to New York about 8.5 years ago now. And mm-hmm. I then switched industry. I started working in the financial services space, working mostly with like investment banks and some of the larger businesses in the New York area, recruiting into risk, audit, compliance, and financial crime. I actually soon switched jobs again, actually. So I was with one business for about 8 or 9 months. I moved over to a company I then spent the next sort of 7.5 years with, and I built out a consulting practice. So the work I did in New York for about three and a half years really was centered around recruitment into risk and corporate governance. So all across second mm-hmm. and third line, supporting clients to bring in, you know, temporary staff, consultants, and permanent placements as well. And then about 5 years ago, with that business, I moved out to California. So I moved out to San Diego, and it was to continue to grow the business out on the West Coast. So recruiting into the same areas across risk, compliance, financial crime, audit, out here in California. So started working with clients in California, kind of dotted around the country as well. And that spanned across banking, wealth management. I've done a lot in the fintech world now for about six and a half years or so. I've supported some of the large advisory firms. So that's really been my kind of career. And as you kind of mentioned as well, I actually went off on my own a couple of months ago now. So it's been about 2 months and I set up WAYO to really just double down and focus into the same market. So the work I'm doing is just to continuation of the last 8 years of my working career, which has been supporting financial services clients to find talent, whether they're consultants or interim or permanent, typically senior level across compliance, risk, audit, financial crime.
Great. And those are continuing need areas, really. I've seen a lot of that, certainly, and you and I've spoke over the last 6 months in particular. It just seems as though as fintechs spin up, there's a need for compliance and risk. As those fintechs have partner banks, those partner banks' expectations continue to grow in terms of what it is they expect fintechs to do, again, particularly around the risk and compliance side. So it seems like you'll have a never-ending lineup of opportunity given the pace at which these fintechs continue to move, and banks in general too. So let's dive in. So you go out on your own. Like you said, you've been doing it for a couple of months. We'll get into the name Wayo, W-A-Y-O-H, which you can tell the story. I know I was asking you about it before, and there's some meaning to it. Why don't you tell us about the name, the meaning behind it, the significance of it, and then let's jump into what that's been like so far, what the decision to go out on your own was like, and things that you've started to learn as you've done it.
Yeah, so the name, actually, so I grew up in a village, the name of a local, walk around as kids, and I used to run when I was younger, so it was my kind. But I always have really fond memories. Okay, that when she went to the UK. So it's just a place I love, and it reminds me of home. Like, I guess, like a lot of business owners, they set up and they're scrambling to understand and see, like, oh, what's like? You just have to go with something. And it kind of came into my head while I was talking to my wife about it. It kind of went from there to it. And also, when I was looking online, outside of that, it was kind of a blank space. So the stars seemed to align a little bit.
And so ironically, though, so it's this place where you grew up, but then the acronym, you can speak to it, is We Are Your Other Hand, which really, and you had mentioned to me before, there was actually another part of it, other name you were going to give it as a takeoff of Wayo. So talk to us about that, because I do think it's very clever. The fact that, A, you something named Wayo, which I hadn't heard before, but then you were able to build something that's highly relevant to what you're doing, which is quite interesting.
Yeah, the We Are Your Other Hand is like a nice... initially, the tagline as we looking to make a move potentially, but we kind of went with one, and as you said, it has a nice ring to it, especially in the recruiting space. But yeah,
now that you've been doing this, I mean, leading up to it though, when you decide I'm gonna go do this on my own, you know, and having done it myself, there's a whole bunch of stuff. You could go out and start doing stuff on your own by yourself, whether it's building a website, you could hire somebody, you could do. There's a whole host of things to consider. Talk through that a little bit. How involved were you? Were you completely hands-on with all the things that are required to get a business moving along, creation of the corporate structure, the website, you know, all of those good things? How deeply involved were you, or did you find some other folks to help you with it?
No, I mean, it was all me building out a website. Branding and logos and stuff like group hub, actually, so I give them a shout stuff, but like the late nights and weekends writing copy, thinking about the coloring and the logoing that would work, that was kind of all me with the help of my wife. But goes into it, as people might not to say it's easy,
right?
I kind of came up with coloring and a logo. I was like, okay, that's it, that's done, let's move on to the next thing, and I'll write copy because it's an area right. That I know pretty well. So really it was a kind of time
that's really
it, because it's all about, you know, relationships and networking. So the more time you kind of dwell on putting together documents or whatever it is, the less time you're actually having to what's going on in the market and if there's clients that you can work with. So that's the time that you are out there that they can see the world, because
right,
everything right,
and if you're great at doing marketing. So, but no, it was fun. Yeah, do I want to do it all again? Probably not.
So let's jump into two things in particular. I'd love to get your thoughts on what you're seeing in the market, both in terms of, you know, as we sit here today in December of 2023, things that you are thinking that are going to come down the pipe in 2024. Let's talk through that. And then I'd like to talk a little bit about, you know, your advice for job seekers in particular. Whether they're looking to get into the risk and compliance industry, whether it be banking or fintech, or whether they're looking to accelerate their career in general internally. You've been around candidates your whole career here, really, and you probably have some tricks of the trade. So let's talk about the kind of the macro economy, things that you're seeing, things that you're looking for in 2024, the outlook.
Yeah, no, I guess it's a big question. There's a little bit to unpack, but I guess going back to your first question there and like what's happening right now. I mean, the reality is it's end of year, right? So a lot of businesses, if they're still trying to make hires happen, they probably have things at like latter stages, and you see a drought of like fresh opportunities between Thanksgiving and Christmas typically. Not to say that there's not jobs out there, there is, but like new and fresh jobs are going to be a little bit limited. So if people are able to like just hold on until maybe, you know, late January, February, March time, that's when the market should really start to open up as it usually does, because this time of year, businesses, no matter what they are, what they do in their size, they are spending this time now strategically thinking about, okay, what has 2023 looked like? What's this quarter going to look like? What can we now do to grow and develop next year? So there are going to be fresh opportunities, whether they're growth hires or whether they're, you know, replacing because people have moved on, you know, bonus mm-hmm. time, especially in the banking space is normally pretty busy. People get a bonus, take the opportunity to then move on, or you know, people right. don't get that promotion that they look for. So they'll look around and they'll get poached by a business who will give them that job title or whatever it is. So I would say like going into like springtime is when things should start to like normalize, in a sense of like, there will be lots of opportunity out there for various reasons. Another thing that I found quite interesting, and I know this is always like a hot topic, and I've managed to find more time to be able to do things like polls online through Wayo, and I'm getting a lot of responses. Like we typically get like hundreds and hundreds of people voting on certain things. I've tried to center it around like the psyche of candidates, so what people are looking for. And like we've got one running this week, for example, around what people would take if they were to be offered, and it was, you know, either a basic salary increase, better benefits, more work-life balance, and like remote flexibility, or a better target bonus. And the stats, I say they're interesting, but people are. It's similar to what you find during COVID. People are preferring to have more flexibility in terms of like being able to work from home. So
right.
that's been the norm. That won't surprise many people. But with that, you know, you're finding a lot of people that are looking now, because a lot of businesses have made this period, so Q4 of this year, the time when they've said, okay, like either immediately or early next year, this is what the arrangement is going to be. And you're going to be in the office 5 or 4 or 3 or 2 days a week. So businesses will give that kind of bandwidth and time. But what's happened in some cases is people have, you know, changed their lifestyle so drastically that that's not going to work for them. So you find a lot of people who are actually pretty happy in their job, but they can't make it work because they now have realized that the travel is going to be an hour each way or whatever it is, or their, you know, their partner has an arrangement where they're going in and they now have young kids because they started a family. And so there's all of this to kind of add on as well, which isn't fault of the business, but it is causing a wave of like, I'd say somewhere between 10 to 20% of individuals who are in a job that they like, they're like, well, I need to move because of this. Like some of the bigger banks have, you know, really started to cut people being employed in certain states as well, which means that they were able to work remote unless they move to another state, they can't. So it's causing a lot from like a micro perspective into the industry as well, where people who really shouldn't be looking to move, they are, and that's maybe getting in the way of people that are on the market because they got displaced and getting those jobs because companies will look at someone who is employed because they might represent a better proposition than someone who lost their job 6 months ago. So there's all these little mini battles happening in the marketplace, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. And actually, I just want to drill in on that. Are you seeing more of the return to office in the traditional bank environment versus, let's say, the fintech environment?
Yes. I mean, it's fair to assume most fintechs are without a home, really. Like a lot of businesses were founded in a full remote capacity, or it was very flexible, and they used an opportunity with COVID to just like remove that completely. Because a lot of businesses had offices in co-working spaces if they're a fintech, and that's all really dried up a little bit, and their workforce prefers to be home. So generally in the traditional financial services space, so that spans into, you know, wealth management, a lot of investment advisory firms, a lot of PE shops, for example, are all on site mostly, you know.
When you think about, so let's shift a little bit to individuals that are sitting out there listening to this, and maybe they want to do better in their current company, maybe they want to change companies, all those different things. So either which way, when you think about how should somebody engage with somebody like yourself in your company, what's the best practice there? Is it a introductory email? Is it a sending of a resume? Is it scheduling time? Walk us through that if you could.
I think some people look at recruiters as like they'll only want to speak to you if there's something in it for them, right? And a lot of businesses are set up that way. And what I mean by that specifically is, you know, a lot of firms, a lot of agencies and recruitment businesses, they have recruiters who simply call individuals when they have a job and they think that person's a fit for that job. So they're not really out there to add any of a value other than, you know, send them to their client and hopefully get them an interview and place them. I think the market has shifted a lot because a lot of businesses have gone under if they only have that model. So what a lot of the better recruitment firms are able to offer is guidance into the market, into what's going on. And then as far as like, you know, really talking to the individual about how they can support their own job search as well. So like what I'm going to share isn't any like trade secrets, but yes, speak to recruiters. Should you speak to every recruiter? Maybe not. Maybe do a bit of due diligence and think, okay, is this person, do they really work in the market that I'm in? Do they recruit into compliance if I'm a compliance professional, for example? Like, mm-hmm. Talk to the right recruiters, because I'm only one person and someone who works for another firm is only one person, and people have access to different networks and different types of clients. So really you should engage with multiple recruiters if you can, and just take their tips and guidance. It's like if you ask for advice from anybody about parenting or whatever it would be. Some people mm-hmm. will give you too much advice. Some people might give you irrelevant advice. But even if you just take one or two things from every conversation that you have, that mm-hmm. will definitely help you in your job search. And my advice to any job seeker, if you're on the market, you really have to take it seriously, because people say, oh, it's a full-time job looking for a job. But what that really means then is you should spend like multiple hours every day focused on it. If you think, right. Oh, I'll get picked up because I've got a good profile, like that might not be the case. And it might be the reason that you're then sat there months down the line, still unemployed or having to go and take a job out of industry. So my advice to anybody is always like, if you're serious about this, I can help. Because if you're mm-hmm. serious about it, it means that if I get you an interview with a client for an opportunistic role, you're going to take that interview seriously. And then you might get the job, which is good for me, but also good for you. If you're not sure about moving and you're in a job that you don't hate, you're just not sure if you're going to be there in the next couple of years. Now with the market, probably isn't the time to just start to interview for the sake of it, because you're going to come up against probably more people than you ever would, because there's a lot of people out on the market right now that are looking, who are unemployed. And also there's not as many opportunities, you know? So the general advice is like, take all of it seriously, use your network, speak to former colleagues, speak to people that you know who are working at businesses that you'd like to talk to. If you're interviewing, do all of your preparation, make sure that you're actually ready for every mm-hmm. single step of every single interview, every step of the way, and go above and beyond as well. Like even though it means I can't do much with somebody, if someone comes to me and says, hey, I've applied for this job at this company, I saw that you're connected with the CCO, could you make me an introduction? Of course I will. But I mm-hmm. hear a lot of people say, hey, Matt, I applied for this job and I sent this message to the chief risk officer and the chief compliance officer, and I emailed HR as well. Is there anything else I should do? I'm like, no, you got it. Like if they like your profile, they're going to interview you, because you're kind of going above and beyond and you're showing that company that you're serious about working there. So people have LinkedIn. You're able to connect with anybody that you want to. If they connect back, like, send them a message. Don't be shy. Like, if you're shy and timid when you're trying to search for a job, you're going to find it challenging to actually get your foot in the door and start to interview, because there's other people out there who do those types of things and do really put themselves out into the market to take the advantages.
Mm-hmm. That's all very great advice. And I wanted to, if I could go back, I meant to bring this up when we were talking about the market generally. You and I were speaking before this, and you said something that was interesting to me, that you're seeing that there's maybe a shift towards companies, whether it be banks or fintechs or anybody else in the space, looking more at the consultant route into 2024 than maybe adding permanent FTE. I think I have that right. Can you talk a little bit about that? I think that's an interesting take.
Yeah, I guess I'd definitely say that's the truth when it comes to companies that are in like quote unquote startup mode still. So you're seeing a lot of businesses who are just being founded, or they're just trying to work towards like funding or like Series A maybe, and like whereas maybe 12 to 18 months ago they would just roll out the carpet and hire a CCO full time. That CCO mm-hmm. might then find themselves not working more than 20 hours a week. So a lot of businesses now have kind of learned from that. A lot of founders do talk. There's so many networking events that just happen at all of the time, especially in the fintech space. So I think founders are a little bit wiser to like what they spend their money on these days. So I think there's a bigger opportunity, and I'm seeing more and more people that I know that are doing, you know, fractional work, whether it's fractional CTO or more on the technical side to implement systems, that kind of stuff. And the reality is those things don't take a full-time job. Sometimes people can go in and just, you know, only do sort of 5-10 hours a week for a couple of months. But if you do a good job there, you'll probably get referred to, you know, that client's friend if they're talking at a networking event. It adds to your profile, obviously it gets you paid in the interim as well. So there's a lot more of those things that are out there. And I'd say the general reason is that companies have seen what's happened when companies burn through their cash too quickly. So that's that. I wouldn't necessarily say that there's more consulting opportunity on the banking side. And I say that for those people that don't know how, you know, the big consultancies work. The consultancies this year have had a really hard time, and a lot of the big firms have not only had to go through that rounds of layoffs this year, but they're now like looking ahead to next year and they're trying to slow down hiring. Like I read yesterday about EY, they're delaying their like graduate program start by a couple of months, which is causing a lot of issues for a lot of like college kids that want to join EY, because they're like, will we start in August? Will we not? So the reason for all of that is that budgets are down, especially across compliance and financial crime in particular, which has meant that there's just been less like projects for the consultancies to go in on, who typically work with the bigger banks. Agendas are getting switched, whereas companies used to have more money to do a systems change or do a remediation to a certain level or anything where they could find rhyme and reason to bring in consultants to do work. They're really trying to squeeze the work to be done by their permanent staff.
Right. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
It's not getting done, but they're asking for their current employees to do more. And people are doing it because the alternative is that they might lose their job, which is still happening as well with a lot of the banks who are having to go through, you know, reductions in force by like 5 to 10%, which has pretty much happened across the board this year as well. So again, it's those little micro issues that are happening in every single state across the country for all of the banks. And it's causing people to be a little bit disinterested in staying with that business if they feel like they're getting worked harder but not getting paid anymore for it. They might not get a bonus this year as well. They're like, shall I move on? And it's like, well, you could, but
be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, like your counterpart at another bank is in the same situation. So it really is a challenging time for businesses to kind of manage all of that, because they're trying to do the right thing from a business perspective, but obviously you then got to think about the deeper impact on the workforce at the same time. So there's a lot more going on than I think people give the market and the businesses credit for, because it is there's a lot to manage, right?
No doubt about it. As we kind of come to a close here, I will link obviously to your company website in the show notes and to your profile on LinkedIn. If people wanted to get in touch with you, send you a follow on LinkedIn, probably the best way, and maybe engage with you through your website. Any other advice as we close out here that you, or let's say your best piece of advice beyond all the stuff you've said now earlier, and I think it could be very much the same if you want to hone in on any one thing for people that are ready to make that jump. And I think you hit it right. We're coming up on what is historically bonus time in the bank world in the next couple months. Mm-hmm. And people like to, you know, grab and go sometimes. So what's your last piece of advice for our listeners, for people looking to move on to something different?
I would say, before you make any decisions, rash or otherwise, talk to people in your network, talk to counterparts, talk to even colleagues, because sometimes like there's a lot of solace to be found in speaking to people who are in a similar situation, but you don't know if you don't ask. So I would say my advice to anybody is, you know, use your network. And whether that's network because you're unemployed and looking to get an opportunity again, and you should go back to speak to as many people as you can that you're still close with, who you used to work with, who might be able to give you an introduction to their company where they now work. Or equally, if you're unsure and you are working still, but you're thinking there might be opportunities elsewhere and like, is the grass greener type situation? Again, like talk to people that you know in industry. Like if you get the opportunity to go to networking events, air it all out, have those conversations. Like it's one thing to speak to your, you know, significant other, your friends about this kind of stuff, but it really gives you a lot more motivation and clarity if you speak to people who work in the same industry, do the same job as you. So that would be my advice. Just use your networks would be my last
That's excellent advice. And I think it's fair to say that in this market, there's a lot of people who could very well be in similar situations, and each of those individuals may be approaching it differently. You know, some people start companies, some people, sulk, some people go and try to change industries. Some people just get really pigeonholed into the one thing that they truly want to do, and there may not be many opportunities for them. So I think your advice is excellent, which is don't internalize all of it. Talk to people and see what options might exist and different approaches and how they're dealing with it. Matthew, I really appreciate your time the second time around, as we've done this before. I really appreciate you joining us. I'm looking forward to seeing how your business grows. Look forward to staying in touch with you personally, and then make sure we'll link to everything in the show notes. And so thanks again for your time, Matthew. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Well, enjoy the Christmas break, and we'll talk soon, I'm sure.
Thank you. I appreciate that very much. You as well.
You've been listening to the Leopard Spots Podcast, presented by Leopard Hill Strategies. Ryan was a senior level leader for 25 years in banking at Fortune 500 companies and is now the founder and president of his own consultancy, Leopard Hill Strategies. His passion is business and talking about business. So if banking, fintechs, new ventures, general industry, and sports are your thing, this is where to come to listen to the best of the best. We hope you've enjoyed the show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. We'll be back soon, but make sure to visit us at leopardhillstrategies.com. Find us on LinkedIn, and remember to subscribe anywhere you get your podcasts. See you next time on the Leopard Spots Podcast.